Good evening to everyone. As always, we want to take a moment to say that we appreciate your presence here this evening. I'd like to say I appreciate the gang that's come over to visit with us from Hazeldale. If you all haven't met them, that is Doug and Linda Crawford. That's Brenda's sister Linda there, and that's her children Logan behind Doug and Linda, and his girlfriend Lexi McDonald from down at the Lakeside congregation. And then there's Kyle, and there's Kaylee up here. And if you haven't ever met them, well, take a moment after services and do that. You'll be glad that you did. And we really appreciate their presence here this evening. It's a big encouragement to us here at Providence. We thank you for being here. It has been a beautiful day, and we're blessed in that, and we're blessed to have the opportunity to come out on such a beautiful day to worship God. This evening, as I thought about the ideal for the lesson, I thought about all the modern technology that we have that I only know how to use about probably 25% of, and that's probably a high number. I think about all the stuff that you can do and all the things that we have to make our lives easier, to make our lives a lot less hectic, and how beneficial they are to us. And we're going to talk about a little bit about these things called GPS. And GPS, if you look that up, and the definition of that is Global Positioning Systems. They feed off of 24 satellites that are up in orbit to position you where you're at. And if you pull it up, it'll tell you where you're at. They're an amazing device, aren't they? You can be going somewhere to where you're not really for sure about the roads and which roads you need to be on. And when you pull that thing up, like in our vehicle, it'll automatically show you. If we're coming across Highway 7 and 70, it'll show us right where we're at on Highway 70. And next thing you know, it's going just along just like what you are on that highway. And it'll tell you when you're coming up on a turn that you need to take or make. It'll tell you that you're getting so many feet away from that, 1,000, 500, 200, 100. That's amazing technology. It's an amazing device. It's something that everybody uses is a GPS. And we think about how beneficial that those things are and how good that they are. And then I thought about the ideal as Christians, what direction are we going, or what direction are you going? And maybe we need to ask ourselves that question sometimes. From a global standpoint, do we know where we're at? And if you was to pull up God's GPS, if you was to go to His GPS and pull yourself up on it, where would you be? And here's another GPS, and this is God's plan of salvation. Would you be able to pinpoint, hone in on where you're at as far as in God's plan of salvation? Now, some people have not even obeyed the gospel yet. They haven't accepted God's plan of salvation, so they not even have gotten on the road yet, so to speak. And then there's others of us that have gotten on the road, and we're somewhere on the road to heaven, and where are we at on that road? And we might pull up God's GPS, and we might find ourselves somewhere along that road, and we might find ourselves needing to make some turns or changing in the direction in which we're going. And it would be very beneficial to us to know exactly how it is that God's GPS works, would it not? We need to know that. We need to have knowledge of it. And again, GPSs are great devices. God's GPS is a great device too. It's right here. This is His GPS. It's not hardly as technical as some of the GPSs that we use in our vehicles and our smartphones and our Androids and all those things, but it is a GPS in that it will tell you where you're at and it will tell you where you're going. And sometimes you need to make changes in the direction in which you're going as a child of God. For example, in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13 beginning, it says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." You know, with these GPSs that we use on our vehicles, a lot of times when we come to a fork in the road, because you've got that GPS, otherwise you might not know which fork you need to take, but that GPS will say, bear to the right, bear to the left, does it not? Well, God's Word works the same way, and He tells us that there's going to be times that we're going to come to situations to where we're going to have to choose which way we're going to go. And those two choices, of course, will be the godly way or the worldly way. Oftentimes people get kind of confused about that instead of making the right turn because they're not using God for their GPS. They take the way of the world, do they not? Even those who have professed Christianity, even those who have made that good confession of faith that they believe in Jesus Christ as being the Son of God, oftentimes they get off course because they're not They're not keeping God's GPS turned on. They're not using it to direct their paths. You know, there's some rules for for getting to our destination with the GPS. And again, it's very beneficial if you know how to use a GPS. They're very beneficial, especially if you're going into a big city and you don't know exactly where you're at and there's a lot of different roads going different directions. It's amazing to me how that they can do that to where those all those signals can get through to your vehicle or your phone and tell you which way you need to go. One thing, we must know where the place is that we're trying to get to, our destination. I think, sadly, there's a lot of people in life that don't really know where it is that they're trying to get to. They don't know where it is that they're trying to go. So a GPS is not really a much benefit to them because they can't punch into it and say, this is where I'm trying to get to. Show me how to get there. We need to know as Christians what our destination is, and that needs to be eternal life in heaven with God. Also, we need to know where we're at right now, and that was the question I throwed out at the beginning of our lesson. Where are you at right now on the road to heaven? Where are you at? Where are you at? If the GPS was pulled up, where would it put you at as far as God's plan for us to get to heaven? What path do we need to follow? And again, that goes back, if you come to a fork in the road, which one are you going to take? Number four, we must take the most direct route. And again, whenever we're traveling, we do that because we want to save gas, and we want to save miles, and we want to save time, so we take the most direct route or the correct route. And oftentimes, people get kind of lost and confused because oftentimes GPSs won't tell you the best route for like a truck. I'll give you an example. A few years back, there was a truck going down Highway 27. You all may have heard about this. The guy had his GPS on. He was trying to get to TTAI over on 461. The GPS sent him across a country road, and he came out on 39, and whenever he went to make the turn, there wasn't room to make the turn. This young lady came up over the hill at a high rate of speed in the middle of the night. The truck turned sideways in the road, and she ran in underneath the trailer of that truck, and it killed her instantly. And she had a little girl. That guy was not familiar with the area at all. He was out of the norm for his position. And he just went by what the GPS said, and the GPS was trying to take him the closest route, but not the best route for semis. So there is fallacies in GPSs, and it cost a young lady her life that night. And it was awful because I'm sure that truck driver still remembers that and kind of considers it to be his fault. But when he tried to make that turn, he got in a position to where he couldn't go forward and he couldn't go backwards, and he was stuck there in a bad position right up over a little rise in the road, and it ended up costing that lady her life. So again, sometimes GPSs of man-made kind are not exactly right. But the GPS that God has given us, again, His Word, for us to get to heaven, if we'll stay on it, if we'll stay on course, if we'll use it, if we'll let it direct us, we'll make it. We'll make it to our destination, and we'll make it in fine order. And again, we must be on the right path. We must know that we're on the right path. The way that we do that is we compare how our lives are going along with this Word of God. And we'll stay on course. Proverbs 4:26 says, give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. You know, whenever we're making decisions about what we're going to do in life, we have to be careful. And that's what Proverbs is advising there. We need to, the writer of Proverbs, we need to be careful to be steadfast in all of our ways and know that when we make a move, it would be the move that God would have us to make. And that way we won't get off course. I hope that you're all trying to can see the direction that I'm going with this lesson. There's God's GPS and there's man's GPS. God's GPS is infallible. Man's GPSs are awful good. They're probably 98% infallible, but they are fallible. They can mess you up. Again, once we are on the right track, we need to use our GPS to stay on the right track. And again, as I said before, if you're traveling to a destination and you get on the right track and you just kind of watch that thing, it'll be quick to tell you if you make a wrong turn. It'll tell you, I don't know if you all have ever experienced that, I'm sure you have, but it'll almost aggravate you to the point that it gets on your nerves. You'll say, turn that thing off if you're over in the driver's seat and Brenda's there. I'll say, just turn it off. It's aggravating me. If I miss a turn, it says, you need to turn around in so many feet and turn and go in the other direction. You need to turn around in so many feet. You're going the wrong direction. But it is good that it's trying to get you back on course. Well, God's Word works the same way. And it'll tell us whenever we're getting off course. It'll tell us whenever we're getting away from the standard that's acceptable unto Him. But sometimes we don't heed it. sometimes we're like with the GPS, we want to turn it off. We don't want to listen to it. We don't want to hear it because maybe it's condemning something that we want to partake of. Maybe it's condemning something that we want to be a part of. Another thing that we have to do is trust in the Lord and His GPS. Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Again, I think that man sometimes have trouble trusting in the Lord. They have trouble trusting in His GPS system. And we're not really dependent on it like we need to be. We need to be dependent upon this GPS. Again, it's infallible. It's unshakable. It's unmovable. And it is the right way. So if we learn to trust in this GPS system, God's plan for our salvation, again, we'll make it to our destination. But if we don't, we won't. Another thing that is really necessary for us to do is we need to hear and study God's Word. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Do you believe that Scripture? I know you've probably heard it 1,000 times. Do you believe that all the Scriptures that's confined in the Bible are profitable for these things? You need to. You need to be very trusting of that. And you need to make application of them to your life. You need to study it and make sure that you're making application to your life. Again, that's God's GPS. Luke 11:28, "But he said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and what? Keep it." And also 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." You know, again, it really helps to have a good understanding of a GPS system, doesn't it? Even the man-made kind. But it's even more important to have a good understanding of God's GPS. And again, that is His gospel. We have to believe in the Lord. We have to believe that whenever He tells us to do something, that is what we need to do. John 20, verse 31. "But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name." Again, it doesn't do any good to believe. James said that the devils, they believed and trembled, but they didn't act upon that belief. Do you believe it tonight? Are you willing to make that confession and say, "I do believe the Word of God"? Mark 9:23, "Everything is possible for him who believes." Sometimes the reason we're limited on what we can do, as I've pointed out many times, is because our belief is not strong enough. We're told that if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. You can say to this mountain, "Be moved," and it'll be moved. Do we believe that as Christians? If we don't, then we're probably not going to follow, I'll get it out in a minute, God's GPS. We're probably going to say, "Well, I know the Bible says this, but I think we'd be just as well off to go in this direction." What's going to happen if that be the case? Also, we must be willing to repent of our past sins. Sometimes that is a hang-up for people. Mark 1:15, "And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Again, if you don't believe it, you're probably not going to act upon it. You know, I had a lesson not too long ago. If you're not sold on the gospel, if you're not sold on Christianity, you're not going to be able to sell it to anyone else because you can't sell something you don't believe yourself. You can't get people to buy into it. You can't get people to believe it. Also, we must know that we have to confess that Jesus is the Christ. And again, this is God's plan for salvation, Philippians 2:11, "And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." And again, if you're not willing to make that confession, there's probably a question about your belief and how strong that it is. Another thing that we must be willing to do, we must be willing to be baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. Anyone in here can quote it. "Then Peter said unto them," when the question was asked, after Peter preached the sermon there, the question was asked, "What must we do?" And he responded to that, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And again, there's a depiction there of what's actually happening there. Your old man is dying, you've been buried, and you've been resurrected to walk in newness of life whenever you become a child of God. And again, God's gospel is your GPS. It's the way that you'll make it to your final destination. We have to be faithful unto death. Revelation 2:10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." We all need to ask ourselves, do I really believe that? Do I really believe that God's GPS system
will get me to heaven.
What happens when you get on the wrong path, as we looked at a while ago? There oftentimes we come to forks in the road and we have to make a decision about what we're going to do. I'm not talking about the forks in the road like down here at the road. I'm talking about the forks where we decide whether we're going to do wrong or whether we're going to do right. What happens whenever we get on the wrong path? We need to go back and listen to the GPS, God's plan of salvation, and what it's telling us. We need to listen to the church. As I've said many times before, the church is looking out for your best well-being. If they're not, there's something wrong with the church. But if the church is doing what it ought to be doing, when I see you getting off course and heading down the wrong path, my knee-jerk reaction should be is I want to help you get back on course. And if I'm not, there's a problem with me, not just with you. And we need to do that as Christians. We need to understand that we have a responsibility to do that. And as I said before, we might ought to be like that GPS system that drives you crazy until you do what it says to do or turn it off. By that I mean when somebody's getting off course in their spiritual life, we might ought to just be so adamant, so persistent on trying to help them get back on course that if nothing else, we drive them so crazy they say, "All right, I'll be back to church." Do we do that as Christians, or we just say, "Well, so-and-so hasn't been there for 2 weeks or 3 weeks or a month. I'd say they'll be back sometime next spring or next summer or next fall." Do we have that lackadaisical attitude? Are we adamant and persistent in saying, let's try to get them back in church before they get too far off course? Oftentimes what happens when you take a wrong turn, bad situation just gets worse, especially if you're driving a big truck, and I know a lot of people do, where you get in situations just like the fellow I was talking about the other night. Whenever you get in situations to where they're hard to undo or they're hard to back out of. So again, we as church members need to be willing to be concerned about others as they might be getting off course. And when somebody comes to you that is a member of the church and they're looking out for your best well-being, take them for that. Don't try to say they're trying to be judgmental of me or they're trying to be bigger than me or they're trying to be more important than me. Know what they're trying to do is help you get back on course according to God's GPS. And that's what we all need to do as Christians. We are to help each other, to lift each other up. And we need to ask ourselves, what is my reaction whenever somebody's getting off course? Too many times I fear that our attitude is, well, they're drifting off course. I knew they wouldn't ever make it anyway. They come out of the world, they come out of the world and they've done this and they've done that, and I felt like they probably wouldn't ever make it, instead of going over and saying, what can I do to help you get back on course? Sometimes we have the attitude of when somebody's down, what they need is a good kicking instead of picking them up. That's not what we're supposed to do as Christians. You need to listen to people that's in the church that's telling you what the sound doctrine says, that you might get back on course. And again, turn around before it's too late. You know, a lot of times people are on the teetering point of whether they're going to drop out of church or whether they're going to continue to go to church. And for some reason or another, something happens and they teeter and they drop out of church. Maybe if you was real persistent, real adamant, and got on it real quick and tried to go and talk to them and encourage them before they drifted too far away from the church, before they've been gone too long, maybe you could help to get them back on course. And again, we need to be conscientious of that as brothers and sisters in Christ. And we need to be willing to help all stay on course so that we might all reach our destination, which is the eternal abode with God when this life is over. Also, we need to realize that there are some other types of GPSs out there, and the devil's in charge of this one. He's the one that controls this one, and it's greed, pride, and selfishness. And whenever that GPS starts directing your life, you're on a crash course. You're gonna crash. These are the three foundations of sin. It's talked about over in 1 John 2:15 through 17. Y'all could probably quote that verse as well. In Colossians 3:5 it says, "Put to death, therefore, whatsoever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry." And again, so many people have lost their souls over greed. We need to realize that that's just a tool of the devil. That's not a tool of God. And the other one is pride, Proverbs 11:2. "When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom." You know, this is another one that'll keep a lot of people out of heaven, because God is or the Satan is at the steering wheel of it. He is the one that is controlling this particular GPS here. And he'll take you where he wants you to go, and that's not to heaven. Selfishness, Philippians chapter 2, and beginning in verse 3, it says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others." Man, that's a pretty big order there, isn't it? That's a real big order, isn't it? For me to look out for your interest just as much as I do my own. If we're doing business together, do I consider your side of that business transaction just like I do for myself? If we're neighbors and I can help you, you've got a field of hay down and it's getting ready to get wet and I've got a tractor and roller in the barn and I'm sitting on the porch drinking lemonade and I look out there and say, you know, if I went over there and worked real hard for an hour, I might help him get that hay up before it got wet, or I just sit there and say, well, he shouldn't have cut that hay. He ought to know it was going to rain. He ought to know it was going to get wet. Sometimes we have a tendency to be the latter instead of the former, don't we? We have a tendency to have that attitude. We want to be independent of each other instead of thinking about what it is that we might be able to do to help one another, to help our neighbors, to help our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to have that attitude. Again, the driver behind selfishness is Satan. It's not God. And Satan has his GPS as well. Last but not least, God's plan of salvation will lead you to heaven. If you'll just follow it, if you're willing to accept his plan of salvation, which we've already covered this evening, we know what it is, and I've repeated it time and time again. We must be willing to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. We must be willing to repent of our past sins. We must be willing to be buried in the watery grave of baptism, to be raised up to walk in the newness of life. And then we must be willing to live a faithful life. And we got to let God's GPS, His gospel, lead us and instruct us in all that He wants us to do. If we'll just do that, we can have that eternal abode with God when this life is over. If you're here tonight and you've never made the decision to do that, we're going to offer you the opportunity to do that. We're going to offer you the opportunity to get saved this evening. And maybe you're here and for some reason or another you've already done that, but you've brought shame or reproach upon the Lord's church. And you would like the saints here to pray for you and with you so that you could take up your rightful place back among God's people. We're ready and willing to help you and assist you in any way that we can. Just come forward as together we stand and as we sing.